Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
The workload of someone else has decreased. Evidently, they were being held as a slave.
Yes, that is correct. A black man enslaved by the South Carolina restaurant manager is owed $546,000, the court rules. This is on theguardian.com, written on the 3rd. A former restaurant manager serving 10 years in prison for effectively enslaving a man, forcing him to work more than 100 hours a week without pay, must double the restitution he pays for his former employee to more than $500,000, a court ruled.
How did he get away with this for any period of time?
Well, the man apparently had mental issues.
And so he's kind of taking advantage.
Okay.
Says Bobby Paul Edwards, a 56-year-old white man who ran a restaurant in Conway, South Carolina, has now been ordered to pay John Christopher Smith, a black man with intellectual disabilities, $546,000. A recent appellate court ruling declared that Smith should receive double the $273,000 he was initially awarded in the restitution after being enslaved and physically abused for 5 years. Says most of the time I felt unsafe, like Bobby could kill me if he wanted to, Smith said, according to court records. I wanted to get out of that place so bad, but couldn't think about how I could without being hurt. A woman named Janine Keynes had a daughter-in-law who worked at the restaurant and had acknowledged of Edwards' treatment of Smith. Keynes reported the restaurant owner in 2014. For stealing his victim's freedom and wages, Mr. Edwards has earned every day of his sentence, Sherry Linden, the U.S. attorney for the District of South Carolina, said when Edwards was convicted. The U.S. attorney's office will not tolerate forced or exploitative labor in South Carolina, and we are grateful to the Watch for Citizen and our partners in law enforcement who put a stop to this particularly cruel violence.
It's amazing to me that it lasted as long as it did. Did none of the other employees take issue with this?
That's what I'm thinking, too. I can maybe see one person being that evil and cruel, but it had to be a whole group of people who knew what was going on.
They may not have known that he was stealing the guy's paychecks. That part may have been secret, but they certainly would have seen him torturing him and using racial slurs.
But I imagine that they probably did, because people probably spoke to this man, and there had to be somebody who gave out paychecks. And note that, hey, this guy's not getting one, and he's here all the time.
Just wanted to reach out and let people know some of the difficulties and challenges and ins and outs of First Amendment auditing while we're out in the field.
Okay. Now, these are things I've seen, but I've never done one.
Right. And I want to get some more information out there about it, because if someone hasn't done it, maybe they have an interest in possibly doing it. And, what that could mean for them if they tried to do that. So,
now, can you tell me exactly what a First Amendment audit is?
Sure. If you go on public property and you are using freedom of the press with your video camera or maybe your cell phone, and you could be doing a cop watch, possibly. People see traffic stops all the time. You could just stop and videotape safely.
Okay.
And, you could follow the instructions from the officers and then capture the whole stop, and it keeps the people safe. That's one example of a First Amendment audit.
Okay.
Another example might be if I go into a public building, like the police department, and I make a video where I'm filing a complaint or picking up public records.
I think you'll find here in New Hampshire that a lot of the police departments and public buildings are already used to First Amendment auditing. That's not universally true. I know there was an issue in, I think, Portsmouth a few weeks ago where the city managers or whoever wanted Joa, I think, were breaking the law. I don't remember who exactly it was, brought up on charges for the horrific crime of videotaping.
Recording.
Yeah, they're really cracking down on everybody. I'm pretty sure they have a working plan on how they're going to try to deal with all these auditors in a negative way.
I do too. Well, I'm glad that you got my letter for one thing. You made me want to restart mail for jail, because I was like, oh man, more people need to be reaching out to our friends that are in jail for no reason.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the audits. Now, the mail for jail thing, has anyone actually restarted that?
No, but I want to. I mean, I feel like I could do it. I have a lot of downtime, but I haven't really talked to anybody. I got his letter the day he got out, so I never got to write him back.
I get why the conspiracy theorists out there are focused on this, and they think it suggests something dark and insidious, like, oh, maybe she's about to tell all or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the case. I think that maybe they're divorcing because that he's going to get in trouble.
You think he's going to get in trouble?
I don't know. Isn't he like a big supporter of like all the vaccines and
everything
like that? So I think that maybe there's some dirt that's coming, and maybe they're divorcing so they can split
to assets. Protect her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, I mean, in a divorce, doesn't the wife gets like half of everything?
Usually.
Yeah. Especially if they've been together 27 years, which is what it said. So if that's the case, and, you know, let's say they have $50 billion, she's going to get 25. So if they come and they say, Bill, you're in trouble, we're going to take your 25 billion. She says, oh, I still have 25 billion. We're okay.
Okay.
Oh,
right.
That's as good an argument as any.
Quite my theory. Someone else said that to me and made a lot of sense. And I was like, oh, that's a good idea.
That really does make a lot of sense. I was thinking there would be stuff coming out with like drama, and I haven't seen any drama, but there's been really good memes.
I wouldn't expect drama from them. I mean, they're billionaires. They have better things to do than to be dramatic on the internet.
Type 2 diabetes and hypertension round out the top 5. Now, Aria, weren't you saying that you have migraines, or that you did?
I did.
Yeah.
But yesterday's was the first in close to a decade. So yeah. I don't think I really suffer from migraines anymore. I think I was just stressed and overworked.
And so maybe that's why you had one yesterday.
Yeah. That's what I'm leaning toward.
Yeah. The prevalence of these diseases not only affects millennials' health and lifespan, but also their bank accounts. Study shows those with at least one chronic condition spend twice as much out-of-pocket healthcare expenses than those without any medical issues.
Shocking. People with medical issues spend more money on healthcare than people without medical issues.
But, you know, they could take that money and spend it on the food that they're putting in their bodies, because good food is not cheap.
No, it's not.
It costs quite a bit more than if you go to the store and you buy the 99-cent bag of chips.
Me and my coworker's girlfriend, who's a nurse, have been talking about this so much recently that, like, so many people our age, like millennials, I guess, just completely are brainwashed into thinking, like, our food is not medicine, but food is definitely medicine.
The single best thing that I've experienced in regard to all of this was the level of support. Like, as soon as I was released from jail, you know, I felt isolated. I immediately went to my coworkers at work because they were the only ones who, hey, I know they're physically here and I can go and talk to them.
Yep.
But the next night, you know, the Liberty community effectively showed up at my house, and I was like, okay, yeah, I got this. Because it's easy to feel demoralized when, you know, the federal government raids you and then hands you an indictment and says, oh, by the way, you're being charged with these things and you could face up to 10 years in prison. That's kind of demoralizing.
I can't imagine.
But having people in your corner, you know, showing their support, it's tremendously helpful. So I hope that there are links to at thecrypto6.com for people to send letters to the other defendants, some of whom are still being detained, because showing your support to them is probably one of the most important things you can do at the moment.
Now, if you're sending letters into them, are there things that they can and cannot receive, or that you should and should not put into those letters?
I do not know.
Yeah, like tape and colored pencils and stuff like that. Whenever I wrote a letter to Amazing Audits, he wrote me back, and I got it like the day he got released, so I didn't get to write him back. But he said, like, I was jumping up and down for joy for 10 minutes when I got your letter, because yours is the only one I got. And that like broke my heart. I was like, we need to like get a letter thing going for people who were in jail for no reason. And the guards like were treating him badly and stuff like that.
You know, Damo said one time that it was better to be avoided by the cops than to fly under the radar. And I was like, okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. I don't want to do either one.
I tend to agree with that assessment. I think it's better if they don't want to deal with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then they leave you alone, right?
The gym that I work for, the owner came to me when I moved, and she was like, hey, you moved? And I was like, yeah, I sold my house, whatever. And she said, well, did you know that all of the police officers in your area know where you moved to? And I was like, no, why is that? She said, well, they're certain you're the founder of Cop Block. I started laughing. I was like, really?
I was like,
no way. But they all knew where I lived. And they go to the gym, and so they talk to her, and they're like, oh, you have her working for you.
That's interesting.
Yep.
So, yeah, more to the point about that, when I first got my Eclipse, I was driving it. I wanted to drive it because it was my new Eclipse.
Of course.
But it wasn't registered, so I just took the plates off of my Ford and threw them on my Eclipse.
No way.
Yeah, I did. I forgot where I was trying to get to. I forgot how to get there. So I pulled into this random parking lot, pulled it up on my GPS, and sure enough, there's a cop sitting in that parking lot. He ran the plate, found out that, you know, it was for a totally different vehicle, followed me out, pulled me over, and was like, look, all I want you to do is tell me that you're test driving the vehicle and you're going to buy it tomorrow. I was like, I'm test driving the vehicle.
Yes, I am.
And I'm going to buy it tomorrow. He's like, okay, thank you.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Well, I certainly am a millennial, and I do certainly smoke. I smoke Newports. I'm sort of aware of some sort of menthol ban that's being proposed or talked about or
that,
something,
yeah.
But I'm not paying much attention to it because I don't expect such a thing to actually happen.
Me either. It did get passed, but it's not supposed to go into effect for like 2 years. So it just sounds to me like something that was some news story to be talked about and make it look like Joe Biden cares about people's health. And then in a few years, it'll be like, oh, those are peels.
So what does it matter if it's menthol? Because it's still a cigarette.
It's like somehow more unhealthy, apparently.
I've heard the opposite, but I don't really care if it's more. I have no need for a healthy cigarette or a particularly unhealthy cigarette. I mean, I'm addicted to them in the same way that a lot of these millennials are addicted to junk food. I think one of the reasons that I stay so slim, aside from the fact that I, you know, smoke, which nicotine is an appetite suppressor.
I did not know that either.
It is.
Oh,
no, don't start.
I'm not.
That I don't, you know, eat junk food. If I eat, it's a meal, or I just don't eat. I wait until I'm hungry enough for a meal, and then I eat a meal.
That's the problem. A lot of people eat out of boredom.
I know. I've been asking the universe for forgiveness because of all the crap I've been going through. I'm like, why am I going through this? Okay, what did I do to, like, my best friends a few years ago? Let's ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so serious, though. Like, I really think that, oh, no, I've just been a bad person, and lots of things will end up better if you ask, like, the universe for forgiveness. Not Jesus, necessarily, but if that's what you believe in. Maybe it will make your life better.
I pray every day, but it's not, you know, I'm not praying to like Jesus or God or anything like that. Because it was interesting. We had a conversation at the house one day, and somebody said something about praying. And I said, well, I pray every day. And Michael was like, what? And I was like, well, I don't pray to God, but I do pray every day. I think that there's a higher being.
Also, just praying kind of in gratitude is kind of like what you guys were talking about, like enjoying every moment. Like, I love just being like, okay, take a second and look at like my room. I'm so grateful for it. And that's kind of like praying.
I don't know about asking the universe for forgiveness, but I definitely think it's important to ask yourself for forgiveness and to forgive yourself. And I think a lot of people fail to do that.
Very true. And
if they expect to be punished for something they may have done in the past, they will find a way to make that a reality,
mm-hmm.
whether they mean to or not, simply by acting subconsciously.
Or manifest it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's so, so true.
So I think self-forgiveness is an important thing, and I think a lot of people struggle with that. And that's why these people, you know, deal with anxiety and depression.
Yeah, that's what I was getting ready to say. The millennials probably manifest their diseases. They're like chronic diseases. They think about it for so long, and they go to the doctor so many times that the doctor's like, there you go, you got it.
I heard you guys talking about the menthol ban that might be going on.
Yep.
And I'm in Massachusetts. We just went through it last year. I want to say in June it became official of last year.
Yeah, I recall because suddenly I couldn't find my Newport menthol cigarettes anywhere because people came up from Mass to buy them.
Yeah, that's what I have to do is go to New Hampshire and get them because I smoke Camel menthols and I have to go up to New Hampshire all the time to buy them.
Yep, and you guys don't have mango vapes down there, I heard. I was like, why specifically mango? I guess that's people's favorite.
What it was a flavor ban on all flavors. Then menthol is considered a flavor because I guess it's appealing to millennials. I don't know. That's how they got the law passed.
So if people want to vape in Massachusetts, I imagine it's illegal to sell a flavored vape, but it's not illegal for you to have one.
I don't know about vaping. I know about cigarettes. That's how it is with cigarettes is they're illegal to sell, but you can bring them from like another state.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
that was nice of them to help New Hampshire get some more tax revenue, I guess. Way to go, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if New Hampshire goes through with it, if it's going to be a permanent thing or not.
Is it New Hampshire or is it the federal government?
I thought it was Biden. I thought it was the federal.
The reason why they are banning it is supposedly because black people smoke menthol cigarettes on a more regular basis. And to look out for us, to keep us from smoking so much, they're going to ban it so black people don't smoke cigarettes anymore.
Is that really the argument they've made?
Joe Biden did.
That's the argument they made.
Joe Biden stated public. I need you to turn us down. I can hear us speaking in the background there, Dan. But Joe Biden, the president of the United States, made the argument that they wanted to ban something that the black community enjoyed.
For the good of the black people. Yes.
And no one said, you racist idiot, you should be impeached and removed from office?
Well, someone might have said that, but no one actually is going to remove him, impeach him.
No one's going to remove him from office. And here's the thing. As a black person, there's levels, there's scales of racism. And let me put it out here. I don't think Joe Biden is a racist. I think he's racially stupid.
Especially on the left, this whole white savior complex has gotten absolutely out of control. And that's this idea that, you know, it's the white person's job to make sure that the stupid, silly black people can actually exist because they're too stupid to care for themselves, which is exactly what this is. Oh, we have to ban menthol cigarettes because black people can't figure out for themselves whether or not they want to smoke menthol cigarettes. I think it's pretty obvious that the black community has figured out what they wanted to do, and what they want to do is smoke menthol cigarettes. I don't see any justification or rationale for coming along and saying, oh no, you can't do that anymore because we're going to decide what is best for you. Screw what you've decided. And it's the same sort of mentality that propelled Manifest Destiny and colonialization. What is the word I'm looking for? Colonization is correct. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, oh, we have to go in. Well, the white people have to go in and educate these people, these stupid farmers in the Philippines, because they're too stupid to do it themselves. It's a horrific mentality, and it needs to be dropped. But yet it persists. We see it right now with the Biden administration alleging that we have to ban menthol cigarettes to protect black people. How about you let black individuals protect black individuals and decide for themselves what is best?
I think that it's less about helping anyone and more about just another means of getting control, like Dan was saying. Like, it's just another thing that they can use to pull people over and to put people in jail, and they're going to end up getting more money doing that with menthol cigarettes.
I wonder what company benefited from this. Like, what corporation said, hey, we need to ban this so that our sales go up? And they said, Biden, we're in your pocket. You need to go ahead and take care of this. And so they did it.
Well, I imagine it's the fault of the tobacco companies who have been lobbying Congress for years now to do something about vaping, to make it illegal or harder to get or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because, oh, no, the kids are vaping and we can't have that. Government, please do something about it. And what the government did was decide, OK, well, no flavored vapes whatsoever. And that would include, or no flavored nicotine products whatsoever, which is going to include menthol cigarettes. And the tobacco company is like, ooh, we did not mean to do that.
But here we are. Here we are. Because I'm sure they're losing a huge amount of revenue.
But as Dan started to point out, you know, it's more insidious than just them trying to find a new justification for pulling people over. We saw this same sort of thing with the marijuana criminalization that occurred in the 1920s. You know, it was largely Hispanics and black Americans who consumed marijuana, and the government came along and here's the drug war, and it's disproportionately causing black Americans to be arrested and put into prison. So this will just be one more justification for them to continue harassing, arresting, and disproportionately targeting black Americans for victimless crimes.
Yep. To help keep her system at bay, Bennett was the one they were talking about who's had multiple sclerosis for 20 years. Bennett takes about a dozen supplements each morning, as well as other vitamins throughout the day, All told, she spends about $400 a month on more than 20 different vitamins, as well as powdered supplements she adds to drinks and smoothies.
Why hasn't she done any research? Taking vitamins is a really good way to have expensive urine.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, because your body purges what it can't use. Yeah.
But your body can more easily take those exact same vitamins from food and put it to use. And plus, like broccoli, like it has vitamin C, it has other things in it too that helps your body absorb the vitamin C.
Well, they're addicted to junk food in the same way that I'm addicted to cigarettes. Yep. They just don't realize that they're addicted to it.
Yep.
Well, it says that Bennett also sees a naturopathic doctor about once a month, a massage therapist when she can, and attends physical therapy as needed. Those services can typically range from anywhere from $75 to $150 per session. But despite all the effort, Bennett started to experience flare-ups in 2018 that have persisted through the coronavirus pandemic, including falls, double vision, and even trouble walking and standing for long periods. An avid gardener, one of her more serious falls ended with her hitting her head on a wooden stake after tripping outside of her home in Washington.
I don't have confidence in the health insurance system that is set up right now in the United States, no, because it's not health insurance. Right. Your car insurance is car insurance and you don't want to invoke it over something minor. But health insurance doesn't work that way in the United States. You're not supposed to need your health insurance in order to go get a routine checkup from your physician. That's like using your car insurance because you need new spark plugs or an oil change or whatever. It's just going to drive up the cost of your car insurance to constantly be trying to use it like that, even if it did cover it.
Now, have you noticed whenever you go into a doctor's office and they ask, oh, do you have insurance information? You say, I'm cash paid. They kind of look at you, you know, like with those eyes like, oh, you don't have insurance? I'm like, no, I'll pay you when I'm done. It's okay.
Everyone I tell that I don't have insurance to just like starts treating me like I'm poor. And I'm just like, Well, I got Obamacare last year and it was going to be like $50 a month. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then there was an error and it was going to be like almost $300 a month. And I was like, I have no issues. Like, why would I pay for that? So I canceled it.
Well, it was going to be $800 when I looked into it for myself and my kids because I was of childbearing age a month.
When I had it through my employer, it was like $17 a month, and It was really good insurance, and I had no objection to it. But you want me to pay $300 a month? Dude, I don't spend that much.
Exactly. I don't go to the doctor that often.
I don't have confidence in the health insurance system that is set up right now in the United States, no, because it's not health insurance, right? Your car insurance is car insurance, and you don't want to invoke it over something minor. But health insurance doesn't work that way in the United States. You're not supposed to need your health insurance in order to go get a routine checkup from your physician. That's like using your car insurance because you need new spark plugs or an oil change or whatever. It's just going to drive up the cost of your car insurance to constantly be trying to use it like that, even if it did cover it.
Now, have you noticed whenever you go into a doctor's office and they ask, oh, do you have insurance information? You say, I'm cash paid. They kind of look at you, you know, like with those eyes like, oh, you don't have insurance? I'm like, no, I'll pay you when I'm done. Okay.
Everyone I tell that I don't have insurance to just like starts treating me like I'm poor. And I'm just like, Well, I got Obamacare last year and it was going to be like $50 a month. And I was like, oh, that's great. And then there was an error and it was going to be like almost $300 a month. And I was like, I have no issues. Like, why would I pay for that? So I canceled it.
Well, it was going to be $800 when I looked into it for myself and my kids because I was of childbearing age a month.
When I had it through my employer, it was like $17 a month, and It was really good insurance, and I had no objection to it. But you want me to pay $300 a month? Dude, I don't spend that much.
Exactly. I don't go to the doctor that often.
Yeah. If I did, I would look into it. But for me, I'm weighing the cost and the risks involved just like the insurance companies would be. And for me, I'm coming up, I'm young and healthy. I don't actually need to spend $300 a month on health care when I go to the doctor once every 6 months.
While older millennials are experiencing higher rates of chronic health conditions, it may not be strictly due to declining health. The implementation of the Affordable Care Act in 2010, also known as Obamacare, increased access to health care providers for many Americans.
But it didn't. It was just a boon to insurance companies. As we were talking about earlier, health insurance, just like car insurance and any other life insurance, whatever insurance you want, it's a matter of calculating risk versus reward.
Yes.
But if only sick people are getting health insurance, then they're not making any money. Just like if only bad drivers were getting car insurance companies wouldn't make any money. They have to have good drivers who aren't getting into accidents.
But they're the healthcare, media.
With healthcare, there's no reason for a young, healthy person to get healthcare. So we chose not to. So in came the, quote, Affordable Care Act that said, hey, yeah, I know you don't need it, and you're probably correct in that assessment. But guess what? You have to get it anyway, because otherwise the health insurance companies, they just can't sustain themselves because it turns out it's not profitable.
And then they fined you if you didn't have it. Like, you had to pay a fine.
Yes. It gets taken out of your tax, and it made me so mad. Like, I had no idea that was going to happen. I answered truthfully on my taxes one year, like 2017. Like, I didn't have health insurance these 6 months. Oh, here's $200 off of your refund. Your refund. I was like, wow. Yeah, that's
thank you very
crazy.
Much.
Some good news out of New Hampshire. You know how one of the reasons the Free State Project picked New Hampshire is the best place for libertarians to migrate to. It was not just that it was near the top, you know, near or at the top, you know, when it came to freedom, but because it's near or at the top in almost everything else, right? It seems like it's always number two or number three in every ranking of what would be good in the state, right?
Yes.
So the latest of many hundreds of such reports over the years, it comes from Realtor.com, which has us rated as the number two best real estate market in the country.
I believe it. Some of the real estate that I looked at when I was in, I don't remember where I was, some part of New Hampshire, but houses were like $17,000, $25,000. And stuff that goes on the market here in Keene, it's pretty much immediately bought up. I mean, the house next to the studio here was for sale for a total of maybe 2 weeks before someone bought it.
Wait, so is it being $17,000 or $25,000 for a house good because it's cheaper?
I don't know. I mean, it may have been a rundown piece of crap. I don't know.
Leaving.
Yes.
May 9th, 3 p.m. All the details are at bitcoingandy.net.
Okay.
And there will be updates posted there as well. But beginning near the Mighty Moose Mart, which was raided by the FBI so recently and inappropriately, we will rally there briefly. I have a very brief speech to give, and then it is intended to be off marching.
Well, I look forward to it. I will definitely be there on May the 9th to see you off. I mean, you'll be right next door to me, so obviously I will be there. Just pop out and say hello and wish you well on your journey.
Now, are you planning to walk for 24 days?
That is the plan.
Okay.
I have left some wiggle room for illness. I do not wish to continue marching creating a situation where I am getting sicker and sicker in marching just because I said I would. So didn't say I would if I became ill. But there have been some minor developments. I have received pledges of over 15 hundreds of dollars for advertising, which will be funded directly by the donors who will pay the newspapers and the I was supposed to be answering questions.
Where do you plan on sleeping during the march?
The Mahatma slept, and I should do as best I can as the Mahatma did.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.